Money in the bank. Does that sound good to you, money in the bank?
To anybody.
Money in the bank. Well, that's the title of this message. This is the last, this is what we call the ice cream float, the hot fudge vanilla ice cream float with whipped cream on top and a cherry right on top of that.
Banana split.
You want one? You girls like that. Yeah.
What grade?
Well, this is the final message in the book of Philippians. The final message in the book of Philippians. We want to go back and look at Philippians one more time. Because this is the finale. This is the curtain is going to close on these messages, even though it will never close. Because these messages will be taught in eternity. Philippi, the city of Philippi, was named after Philip of Macedon, who took over the city in 358 B.C. from the Thracians. Philip of Macedon is the father, of course, of Alexander the Great. Mark Antony took the city of Philippi into the Roman Empire in 42 B.C. Later, Augustus Caesar made Philippi a Roman colony. Philippi became a major city on the great Roman road. And Paul met Lydia, the seller of purple, on this Roman road. And she and her whole household became Christians, Acts 16, 12 through 15, and 16, 22 through 34. Well, this is a church, the church in the crossroads of the world. And Paul is writing this letter to them, and he's telling us some eternal truths from God's Word. Verse number 15, we're going to read this now, 15 through 23 from the Amplified Bible. O you Philippians, yourselves well know that in the early days of the gospel ministry, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me and opened up a debit and credit account. Now this is a bookkeeping term. This is the merchandising term of the time at that time in the Greek language. In giving and receiving, except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me contributions for my needs. Needs. He didn't say wealth. He didn't ask for a jet airplane and a $100,000 a year expense account. And here was one of the most important men in the history of God's Word. And the economy of God and the administration of God's kingdom. This is one of the most important people. You sent me contributions for my needs, not only once, but a second time. Not that I seek or am eager for your gift, your donations, but I do seek and am eager for the fruit which increases to your credit. This goes into your bank account. The harvest of blessings that is accumulating to your account. Now we're saved by grace, aren't we? We're saved by grace. Jesus does it all. Our lives change when the God Spirit comes into our lives. We are still sinners until the day we draw our last breath. But it says that what we do for Christ is not to get us into heaven. What we do for Christ is an account. It's a savings account. The real 401k. They say that President Biden is going to try to empty a lot of the 401ks. He's going to devaluate the dollar in December, supposedly, and all kinds of these horrible financial bankrupt situations. But God's bank is a powerful entity. It cannot be robbed. It cannot be pilfered in any way. I took Sharon and Marilyn to Tonopah, Nevada here a while back, and we went and had lunch, I think it was, or a early dinner or something there at the Mizpah Hotel. The Mizpah means a covenant or agreement. That comes all the way back from Jacob and Laban in their time when Laban ran him down and was going to attack him, basically. And they made an agreement there. God told Laban beforehand, you touch that man, I'll kill you. Don't you say one bad thing to him. Don't you dare. Or you're a dead man. Well, we went into the Mizpah Hotel. In that Mizpah Hotel, there's a great big safe. Remember, you walk into the safe, there's all kinds of goodies in the safe. You can walk in one door and out the other side. And one time, there was a lot of hard rock miners in Mizpah. And basically, or in Tonopah. Now, at Tonopah, I have shown both of you how that Tonopah is like a honeycomb with no honey in it. It's hollow underneath. Well, these guys, there was a lot of money in that Mizpah safe. And they said it couldn't be broken into at all. It was impossible to be broken. But there was two hard rock miners that went in there, and they were really familiar with all of the tunnels under Tonopah. And they went to the one that was directly underneath that safe, and they tunneled up through it. And in the middle of the night, they went up through there and emptied that safe and took it out and covered the floor back up. It was several days, they say, before the robbery was even known about. They didn't even know. They couldn't figure out. When they went in there, they actually saw what happened. But actually, that bank vault, that safe vault, was broken into by people that were very wise and could use their knowledge to become thieves. I don't think they ever caught them. Now, God says, put your treasure where neither moth nor thief nor rust can destroy it. A lot of people have all kinds of investments, good investments. I always told people the Colt Single Action Army and Winchester Rifles were some of the best investments you could always possibly invest your money in. They just go up. One way. The bank and the stock market goes like this, and they just go like this, steadily. And unless they take them away and destroy them, and then they're worth nothing. See, even that can happen. That happened in Germany. It happened in America one time. It happened in America one time. We had a complete takeover in America. The president's name was Abraham Lincoln. He incarcerated everybody, confiscated newspapers, put editors in jail. Anybody that spoke against what he was doing, they went to jail. And those that supported him, he supported. Took all their firearms away, confiscated the money in the bank. Well, you don't have to worry about this bank account. This bank account, money in the bank, is money, and this bank is in heaven. Satan will not be able to touch that. Verse number 18, but I have your full payment and more. I have everything that I need and am amply supplied, and now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent to me. They are the fragrant odor of an offering and a sacrifice which God welcomes in and which He delights in. And my God will liberally supply and fill the full of every need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and the Father to be glory forever and ever through the endless eternities of the eternities. Amen. So be it. Remember me and every saint every born-again believer in Christ Jesus, the brethren, my associates who are with me, greet you. It's doxology. And all the saints, God's consecrated ones, wish to be remembered to you, especially those of Caesar's household. And the grace, the unmerited spiritual favor and blessing of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed one, be with your spirit. Amen. What a beautiful finale to this beautiful masterpiece of what we might call the theater of God's. The theater of God's grace. Now let's go back to verse number 15 in the Greek language. Oidate de kai himes, philo pesioi, hote en arke, tu yong leon hote exelthon, apo makadians, udamia, moi ecclesia, ekoine eisen, eis logon dosios kai lepsios, e me himes, manoi. Go back and just absolutely taste every one of these words. Just taste every morsel of God's word. Taste it all. One bite at a time. One word at a time. Look upon these words as M&M's, Marilyn, or See's candy. Every little See's candy cut up in little tiny pieces are the greatest delicacy that you can think of. You have known thoroughly also, ye Philippians, because in the beginning of the gospel, when I went out from Macedonia, no over not one person gave to me out of a church. Not one of them shared with me. That word shared there, they had a partnership. This word koinonios, third person singular, first aorist indicative active from koinonio. It means to be partners with. To be partners with. Unto the matter. Now this word eis logon there, it actually means unto an account. This means unto a ledger. The other churches had a ledger that were going to be empty. If you don't put money in the bank, you're not going to have money in the bank, are you? Simple as that. If you don't put money in the bank, you're not going to have money in the bank. Don't even have a bank account. You can't go there and say, hey, I want my money today. If you don't have a bank account, you never put anything in there. These churches that didn't support Paul had no bank account. They weren't in partners with God, with him. No other church had a running account, a ledger of deposits, debts, and deposits. The matter, the account, the ledger of giving and receiving. Accounts of receivable and the debts. These churches had a debt to Paul, because they wouldn't have existed if it hadn't been for Paul. But they didn't take it upon themselves to have enough gratitude to give, to support him on his missionary journeys. Except you only. Paul uses this mercantile metaphor here. Money in the bank. Accounts and receivables. He uses it again in verse number 17. Eis logon himon. Not even the Antioch church contributed anything but good wishes and prayers to Paul's missionary endeavors. I'm still not over the propane poisoning in my lungs. Please bear with me. Verse number 16, Hote kai en Thessalonica. Kai hapax, kai dis ace, tase, creon mu, epips, epemps ate. Because. Indeed, because. This word here, hote, there is because. That's a little conjunction, page 294. And also, kai there is not a conjunction here, but is a particle of affirmation, page 208. But indeed, in Thessalonica, in Thessalonica, that preposition there on page 137 in the analytical Greek lexicon puts in Thessalonica in the locative case. And then we have another chi here, which sometimes is and, but here it is both. It's a cumulative particle here, still on page 208. Hapax, that's an adverb, once and for all. It's not used a whole lot in the New Testament. It's an idiom. Jude uses this idiom also. Both once and twice unto the need of me. Ye sent. Second person plural. It's not a church as an entity, but the church as individuals. You all. Second person plural, first aorist, indicative, active, from tempo. Now verse number 17. God shall add to our accounts everything that we should do. Everything that we shall ever do is an account for God. It is a safe deposit box that is safe. It is an account that carries with it interest. You know the banks today. If you put money in the bank, you don't get very much interest. You won't even get 1% interest. People used to be able to put money in the bank and draw enough money to where they would have a retirement or something. Now they cripple you from that. It's an absolute a criminal act. For banks to use your money and make millions of dollars or sometimes lose millions of dollars and not give you anything for using your money. They'll charge you sometimes for putting money in the bank and charge you for putting money out of the bank. And of course your Bank AmeriCards, your Visas for whatever bank, Wells Fargo or whatever, they charge great big interest. Wouldn't it be nice if we could charge the interest on the money we have in the bank to them that they charge us? Verse number 17 now. Ut hote epizeto to doma ala epizeto ton karpon ton pleon azonta ace lagu himon. For I don't zealously seek a gift from you. Another offering. But, strong adversative conjunction there. But, I seek the fruit. The fruit that is increasingly, constantly unto your spiritual, heavenly bank account. On this written ledger in indelible ink. Not that I seek. Look at the epi zeto. Here we have two words. We have a compound word. We have epi, which means upon, and then zetio, which means to seek, or it means to zealously seek. First person singular, present indicative, active. He said, I am not zealously seeking an offering from you, but strong adversative conjunctive, I seek zealously the fruit. The fruit that is adding interest unto your heavenly account. Interest. God's treasure house in glory is where your money is. When you do something for the Lord, when you give, whatever you do, I'm not standing up here and talking about a prosperity gospel. So many of these preachers get up there and say, send me a dollar and God's going to send you 10. Just expect a blessing. Just do this, do that. Just give me your car. And God will replace it with a Rolls Royce. This is what we call the prosperity gospel, or the seed giving. sow one seed out and you get 100 or 1,000 or whatever. Now, Paul said, I'm not one of those kind of preachers. But I do tell you this one thing. If you turn loose of things that belong so much, mean so much to you, God will give you more in the future. All of these prosperity gospels are talking about things now. Now, now, now. I want it now. I want a big house now. I want a fancy car now. I want this now. I want that now. And that's what the world wants, people. But God's gospel, God's saving plan, God's bank account is not now, it's future. It's not now, it's future. Our perico, de ponta kai perisiu, pampleromai, dexamenos, para epaphroditu, ta parhimon, osmein, u odias, theason, dectain, uareston, to theou. For I continue to have a lot. That means apo and echo. I continue to have. It says the term here means paid in full. It means to get all the interest and all your money out of the bank at the same time. Paul said, I'm paid in full. But all things I continue to abound in. First person singular, present indicative, active, parisio. And then I have been caused to be filled. That word there, a filled there, means overflowing. In other words, I was filled completely up at times where I couldn't eat another bite. I cooked some a grilled tuna sandwich Sunday, and I made some grilled cheese sandwiches with some fresh salsa in it. And I grilled them on the grill. And Marilyn and one of our guests here Sunday in our services, they both ate so much they didn't want dessert. And that was pretty difficult. You were pretty full, weren't you? That's the word term here. I'm filled plumb up. And having received from Epaphroditus the things from you. And then it says here, he's using the word here comes from ozo. Ozo is perfume. It's a Hebraism, by the way. This is a Hebraism carried over into Greek language. An odor, a fragrance of a sweet smell. This is a genitive of quality. Now, a very sweet smell. A sacrifice. It was their sacrifice that they gave, but it is God's Son that He sacrificed for the whole world. But these Thessalonians have sacrificed a little bit of their wealth to help Paul. A sacrifice acceptable and well-pleasing. It means of God's pleasure to God. That spiritual reward, that spiritual donation spurred Paul onward to do the things that he needed to do. And you know what? when any minister sees his people begin to give and to glorify God with their lives and with their wealth, it just absolutely thrills me. And it thrills each and every one. Because you know they heard the message and you know they believe it. And parting a man with his money is one of the hardest things you can ever do. A lot of con artists figure out how to do that, but we're talking about God. God's treasure house in glory. And that's what it's talking about. God's treasure house in glory. Money in the bank. In the glory and in the future. It's a metaphor. and a contrast of the pagan temple treasures and God's eternal treasure house. The pagan temple treasure, we get the word anathema. There's a word in Greek, anathema, and anathema. It means that when you went to a pagan temple, this is a pagan term, because it comes from a pagan language, actually. But we apply it in God's terms in the Bible at times. God's talking about, or Paul's talking about God's treasure house. The pagans would bring something very valuable to the temple, trying to appease their gods. And they would leave it there. Now, once they left what they gave to that temple, they could never buy it back. What about if it was a shield that your great-grandfather used, and it was a beautiful shield that he used in a great war, a great battle? And it was worth a lot of wealth. It was worth a lot of things, a lot of money. If you gave that to a temple and they took it and put it on the temple wall, they nailed it on the wall, they placed it upon a wall, anathema, you could never redeem it back. It was gone forever. But one thing about it, when we work for God, when we give to God, we're going to get it back. Not now, but forever in eternity future. That's quite a bank account, isn't it? Guaranteed. The man that had one talent and invested wisely, God gave him 5 talents. A man that gave 3 or 4 talents, he gave 3 or 4 talents to use, he gave him 10 talents. And he made him a lord over 10 cities and over 5 cities, and et cetera, and et cetera, et cetera. You remember the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents fully applies to these verses. God's treasure house in glory. The pagans, when they went and they gave something into the temple, they could never redeem it back. It was done and gone forever, and that pagan god was nothing. It was empty. And those pagan temples were pilfered so many times and destroyed by opposing armies. The temple of God in Jerusalem, with all the golden walls and everything, they burned everything down and took the gold away. But this house of God shall not be pilfered. Hode theos mu plerose, pasan kerion himon karata, pleotos auton endoxa en Christu Jesu. Moreover, the God of me, my God, he shall fill up all your need, according to the abundance, according to the overflowing treasure house of Him, belonging to Him, in glory. I can't promise you if you give God $100 or $1,000 or $3,000 today that you're going to get $10,000 next week. But I guarantee if you give it with your heart, it's quite a bank account. It won't rust, it won't pilfer, it can't be stolen. It is yours forever with interest. That bank account in glory. God's treasure house in glory can never be pillaged. It can never be invaded with any opposing armies. Your rewards are absolutely secure and everlasting, written in account books in heaven. This is quite a story, isn't it? This is a good message.
Yeah, it is.
It challenges people, doesn't it? Tode theokai patri himon he doxa esus ionios ton ionion hamon. Amen. Amen. You know that word amen comes from Persian. It means to prop up. This little stand here props up the books and it's not much underneath there, just whatever. I'm going to build a real pulpit one of these days, get around to it. The word Amen means to prop up. In Persian, and that one in the Hebrew language is paradis. Paradis. It went into Greek as paradiso, comes into English as amen, that is, not paradise. Paradise does the same thing. It came from Persian into Hebrew, amen. From Hebrew into Greek, amen. And into the English language is amen. It just carried the same word all the way over. It's a particle of affirmation. It means firm and faithful. And absolutely true. Moreover, to the God and the Father of us, the glory unto the ages of the ages, eternally. Eis, tous, aionos, ton, aiona, amen. Now the word aiona, aion, means ages. It means one age upon another. We look here and we look at eternity past and we go through all the ages, how God dealt with mankind, all the way into eternity future. Eternity future, we cannot even imagine it. But I'm going to tell you, your bank account is going to be full throughout eternity. God said it would be, not me. The word ion in the Septuagint is from the Hebrew olam. A time whose end or beginning withdraws itself from perception. From alone, which means to conceal. It means it's so far away and so it's so far out there that you can never able to see the end of it. How can we see the end of eternity? Mm-hmm. It always conceals itself. A conception which begins where the reach of the power of possession ceases. And yet goes on forever. The Father of us and the glory unto the ages of the ages. Amen. 421 now. Paul's final doxology and greeting to this church. As pazaste panta hagion en Christu Jesu. As pazonta himos, himas that is, hoi sin imoi adelphoi. Ye greet for yourself all and every saint, every holy one, every one not of earth, in Christ Jesus. And they greet you, the ones together with me, the brethren. Hosbozonte himos pontas hoi hagio melista de hoi ectes kaisaros oikios. Ye greet for yourselves also the saints, the saints. This means much saints, but especially the ones out of the household of Caesar. See, Paul preached, and some of the people in Caesar's own household, some of his servants, some of those people, even some of the saved ones of his family, believed. And they were saints. And I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't easy to be a saint in those days. Very dangerous. He Christu Kyrio Jesu Christu. Meta tu pneumatos. Himo. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you and with the Holy Spirit. In AD 64 AD, Nero began to persecute Christians. He basically had burned Rome because he wanted to rebuild Rome and wanted to make it into a beautiful city. And there was a lot of ghettos in Rome, and he wanted to level the whole place. Except a lot of people lived there. So just somehow he had the place set on fire, and he stood on the roof and fiddled or played his guitar while Rome burned, basically. And then he blamed it on the Christians because they really got upset because so many lives were lost and fortunes were lost. So he began to blame it on Christians. So he began in AD 64 to persecute Christians. Somewhere between AD 64 In AD 67, the Apostle Paul was beheaded. Paul was born in 5 AD in Tarsus. And he died somewhere between 64 and 67 AD. We don't know exactly the date. Nero was born December the 15th in 37 AD. And he died in June the 9th, 68 AD. Not long after he had the Apostle Paul killed, martyred. He wanted to destroy him. Nero basically was forgotten, and they wanted to forget him. Nero was a horrible man. He killed his family, his mother, his brothers and sisters. His wife was pregnant, and he just thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world. And he kicked her in the stomach in a foolish rage, in a manic episode. And she died, and the child died too. Well, he had a servant that was a boy, but his features were a whole lot like his wife was, so he had him neutered, and he became his lover. Wicked, wicked man. A wicked man that called good evil and evil good. Like the world we live in today. But I'm going to tell you something. Nero was gladly forgotten, but the Apostle Paul has grown greater and greater and greater and greater every year since he was martyred. He's called St. Paul, you know. He was St. Paul. But you're also St. Marilyn and St. Sharon. And all of you out there, St. Nancy in Pennsylvania.
St. Jim.
No, not St. Jim. St. Kathy and Steve in Missouri. St. Mark. St. Christine. St. Brett, St. Randall, all of these people are all saints. They're not of this earth. Put your money in the right bank. Put your money in the right bank. God has use of it. He has need of it. And you will have it forever anyway. Forever and ever and ever and ever. You can take it with you. You can take it with you. People have been buried with treasures all around them like the pharaohs. Like the great rulers of the old. And then people pilfer their graves. You can take it with you. You invest your wealth in God's kingdom. And you will take it with you. You can be assured of that. Our Father, we send this message out for your children. Comfort them in their lives. And I know that many are not in good conditions, especially over there in the Middle East, any Islamic country. And even in Catholic countries, they're persecuted. Father, I pray that you use this message to comfort them and to raise your people up to be saved.